The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you will get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. Take advantage of this special. Call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Julia Locus. I'm from the Bay Area, California, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 227 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and TouringPlans.com. And with me on the show, of course, is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you this very fine day, night, whenever we're recording?
Yeah, yeah, it's a day.
Yeah, well, at least we didn't get 6 feet of snow, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Like Buffalo, New York.
Oh, my goodness.
Where it's 20 in the 20s here, but
They've gotten a winter's worth of snow in 24 hours.
Yeah, who said that?
Did you say
that? Yeah, I did. Oh, okay. Well, we have a shout out today, and it is to our good buddy, Anna McCoy. And for this show, we're going to be talking about one race. For the next show, we'll be talking about another. And Anna McCoy PR'd in both of these races for the half marathon. And she's just awesome. So congratulations, Anna McCoy. And we think she's related to somebody we know, right?
But
the name sounds familiar.
And the reason why we're giving Anna a shout-out was because in these two races, the conditions were far from ideal, yet she, in her training, was able to overcome them. So we thought that she deserved a shout-out.
And we also have some other people to help us talk about.
Yes. We have returning. We have Rich Gehring, and we have Lee Zimmerman and Laura Gelbreth to talk about the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. And we're going to talk about several things, including the Jingle Jangle 5K, the Expo. Basically, we're going to concentrate on the Jingle Jangle 5K, the Expo, and the Half Marathon. So, Michelle, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So it's the Jingle. This is your only race that you have a hard
thank
time.
Thank you very much.
But
I'll get the Expo right.
Well,
why don't we talk about the Expo
first?
Okay,
let's do the Expo. So welcome to the show, Rich. Welcome to the show, Lee and Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us back.
Oh, thank you. So we know this was quite an interesting week. I think Mike and I have done three of these races, and it's a fantastic race, race weekend. And we just made a choice to do another race, but this had a lot of interesting stories around it. So why don't we jump in and start with the Expo? So, Rich, how did you find the Expo this year?
I thought the Expo was great this year. I thought it was well organized, and it was very similar to Marathon Weekend. I think that they expanded a little bit. I think that the New Balance area was improved over the last couple of years, and I think that they were much more customer friendly. And I think that for the overall expectation, the Expo met or surpassed my expectation for the race.
How were the lines? When did you go get your stuff?
We were there around noontime. And I think that
on Thursday?
On Thursday. And mm-hmm. I think the lines were challenging, but they were still okay.
Okay. Laura and Lee, what did you think?
It, like Rich said, it's a lot like Marathon Weekend. It's nice because it's a smaller race, so it was less crowded. We were there actually on Saturday, and I don't remember that there was any lines any place.
No, it was very quiet on Saturday. Now, I felt that there were actually fewer vendors in the Expo than I've seen at Marathon Weekend and other races, which, I mean, was fine. I couldn't really tell you who was missing. The ones I expected to be there were there, but it just seemed like fewer vendors, which made it a little less crowded, and it was a very pleasant experience.
That's good. I actually have a question about that, Lara. You know, when I was there for the Tower of Terror 10K, I was seeing the same vendors. And do you guys think that they should maybe mix it up and have different vendors? Because I don't know. I find that I'm going through it very quickly because I've bought so many things at these expos. What do you think?
That's an interesting question. I mean, it would, some ways, yes, I agree. It would be nice to see some different vendors. On the other hand, there are some that I specifically look for, and I would miss them if they weren't there.
Well, and I guess the other question is, what would they have? Metal holders, running supplies, running gear, running shoes, other races. What else is there really that you would have at a running event expo?
Yeah. I think the only thing that's really different that they have throughout the course of the expos is the different races that come and try and sell their events. But I agree with you, Lee, that, you know, there are only so many, you know, skirt types, for example, that can come.
Now, there's one. All of the booths almost at sell clothes are women oriented.
Oh,
I think us guys are being shortchanged. And while some of us have been known to wear running skirts, you know, if you think about it, the really big booth that has all the neat shirts with all the neat sayings and everything like that, and then there's at least two different skirt vendors and stuff like that. So you're kind of in trouble if you're a guy and your luggage gets lost or something like that. There's a lot of times only about one place that you can actually buy men's clothes. So
I think really
it's a protest movement for more men's sporting clothes at the Disney events.
That's really interesting. Yeah, because Raw Threads is mostly, there's some men's things, but mostly women.
Fit to Run.
One More Mile, but Fit to Run in Champion is usually there. And Fit to Run has a lot of stuff. So interesting. The last question I have for you is, what did you think of the shirts? So I saw pictures of the Wine and Dine tech shirt, which was really interesting. So Laura, can you describe it and tell us what you thought of it?
So it was a maroon long sleeve shirt, the same fabric that they've been using this year for the other races, which I like. It's a nice lightweight, very soft tech fabric, and it's very comfortable. I really liked the shirt. I liked the design. It had the Mickey carrying the platter with the chef's hat and all that, the logo on it. I had the women's cut, which, again, I am so very happy they are finally offering women's cut shirts for the Disney races. And it was a nicely designed shirt. It's a flattering fit. I think my only complaint about it is the sleeves are a little bit too long.
And Rich, did you do the 5K?
I did, but the other thing that I noticed, Michelle, about mm-hmm. the shirt themselves is that I really appreciated on the shirts that on the left sleeve, they used to have the parks that you used to run through. So they'd have Animal Kingdom, the studios, and then the tree, and then the Epcot ball on your sleeve. And this is the first time on these shirts that I haven't seen those insignias. So while I agree with Laura that I think these shirts are better than they were the year prior, it disappointed me not to have those little icons of the different parks that we ran to on the shirts as well.
Oh, interesting. And so what did the 5K shirt? I'm sure it was cotton.
The 5K was the Mickey medallion, and it was a cotton shirt, very similar to all the other years that they've had. So
red,
it's a nice shirt.
Red and
it was gray, actually.
Oh, gray.
It was,
okay.
Yeah, it was not Christmassy. But Santa Mickey was on the front with a couple of ornaments and things, so it's a cute shirt, but it's not, you know, it's a cotton shirt, and I filed it with all my other cotton shirts.
Right. I've gotten to the point where I try to give them away to my son Liam, and he doesn't want them anymore. I've given him so many because I don't save those either. So the only last question I have is, it seems to me that Run Disney has really perfected the shirt exchange, and probably nobody on this podcast today had to exchange their shirt, but did you happen to notice that?
I've done it in the past, and yes, it works. It works really well.
It's not a big deal at all.
Yeah, I did have to, because I went down a size, and it was very quick, very painless. I just walked up, and I said, hey, can I exchange this extra large for a large? And, you know, within 2 minutes, I was out of there, so it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that that's one of those areas that they've improved upon. I know it was years ago, it was like pulling teeth. What do you mean you want a different size? You know, you have to jumped through a hoop, so that was good. Did we talk about the 5K?
We didn't. Where have you been?
I don't want to talk about what is it, Jingle Jungle?
Jingle Jungle 5K.
Jingle Jungle 5K. Rich, let's start off with you. Can you describe the conditions for the race that morning?
It was, I come from the Northeast, so I would say that it was chilly. We got there extra early, and this was a late arriving crowd, but people were cold in the parking lot waiting in the Animal Kingdom for the race that day. I think it was in the 50s, but people were certainly chilly waiting for the start of the race that morning.
And how big of a field was it? Do you know offhand how many people roughly ran?
I don't, Mike, but I would equate it to the corral sizes of, I would say, about three-quarters of the size of the marathon weekend crowds. They had four corrals.
Really?
They were fairly well packed. And it seemed like it was more of a relaxed crowd. I think a lot of people that were waiting for the race did not have that racer mentality that, you know, we've seen in other races for the 5K where people just take off at the gun. This was a much more relaxed crowd that we were with on that morning.
So I guess we're talking around 700 to 7,500 runners, because in January there's about 10,000 for the 5K. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I didn't have my crowdometer on, but I think that I think it was a well maintained smaller crowd than what we would see marathon weekend.
Okay, here's an important question, because I think it will indicate a trend. Would you say there was, did you notice a lot of children running that race?
Yeah, I ran with three friends, and I think that there were a lot of younger folk in the crowd this time. I don't know. I think because there was an expanded Veterans Day weekend that we had a lot of kids at this race this time, Mike.
Well, I was thinking that as the price goes up for the 5Ks, the number of non-adults will go down. So that's what I was thinking about.
I would think that we had maybe about a third of the crowd was the under 18 crowd.
And Lee and Laura, you did not run this race, right?
No, we didn't.
Okay. So, Rich, just one more question. What were the characters like on the course?
Oh, yeah.
We had, I believe it was five character stops. The highlight stop seemed to be Santa Goofy, who was right in the entrance to the Animal Kingdom. The thing that I realized, since I haven't seen the Animal Kingdom since January, was that essentially the construction walls that circled Discovery Island and the Tree of Life were just incredible. It was as if you were racing around construction walls throughout the course. So I think that for many people it was disappointing, just because of the sight lines and the expectations that people had of the Animal Kingdom and what they really saw. But there were five in total, or six in total.
That reminds me of the Disneyland half in 2011 when we ran through Disney California Adventure and there were just walls and walls and walls.
Yeah, very rarely did people get a good view of Everest or of the Tree of Life. And, you know, so many people were running that race and hoping to get that picture of them running by it. And they certainly weren't going to get it, you know, 12 to 14 hours later. So it was sad to see how many walls were up at the time.
And what about the length of wait for characters? Were the lines really long?
The lines were pretty sizable.
If you say like 5,000 people in five character stops, that's a lot. If you do the math, that's a lot.
I was in Corral C, and we had a great time, you know, doing other things in the Animal Kingdom. Our friend Joe Weeks, for example, stopped at one of the drum stands, and he was playing the drums on one of the sides with some kid friends, and some other adults would join with him, and you know how Joe, you know, gathers a crowd. So it was a fun race. And what I was finding was that after you get through the Animal Kingdom, you make a left turn out, and you probably go out a half mile and come back, which is sort of like that last finale of the race. And I think that was the part where they needed something else, just something to keep the crowd moving along, because people were meandering through, and I think a lot of people were cutting through the cones to just get done with the race at that time.
Lee and Laura, do you have any questions about the 5K?
I don't
Okay.
Think of any sense. It's one we haven't done. It looks really fun. I mean, so Rich, do you think of the ones you've done, is this one that you really enjoy or not so much?
I this is the first time doing it, and I thought this was the most festive of any of the 5Ks that I've done in a Disney park. Sure, the Disneyland 5K has such great park time and such great views of the park. But this one, people were very holiday-oriented, and I think that a lot of people were just there to catch the spirit of Christmas and just enjoying the morning. So for me, it was the one that had the most smiles per mile.
Yeah, this I've done this twice, and I actually, this is one of my favorites. I really like the holiday. I love Christmas. Who doesn't? But I like the way that, you know, people dress up as elves, and I just really enjoy it. Did you notice if Rudy and Carissa had to dress up in interesting clothes?
They were not dressed up that interestingly that time, but there were a number of great costumes. We had a great Mickey Milers meet that morning where Kim Markey and team were dressed up like, I guess I would call them 50s-ish elves, and they looked outstanding. And I did see a lot of folks in costume for that race, and much more so than Marathon Weekend or any other weekend that we've seen.
It's going to be interesting to see as the races come and go, how the 5Ks, if they evolve, if they change, if they add more characters, because it's becoming more and more apparent that very few people are running. We're just seeing people walk through the parks, enjoying the park experience, especially on the West Coast, and trying to take advantage of those character opportunities. So we'll have to keep a lookout for that. And I'm also hoping that someday that the medallions turn into medals.
Yeah, you know,
that would
I agree
be
with
nice.
You, Mike.
Yeah. With the cost of the race, you know, it should. They should.
And I hear you, Mike. I'm a social runner. I run to run with a pack and to be part of a crowd. But I think that it gets a little bit crazy when you have these mobs of people walking around and you know, it doesn't become a race after a while. I don't want to be the guy that says, oh, I have to finish in 20 minutes, but you know, it's much more of a social event.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on to the main event, which was the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. And
you mean the Wet and Drenched Half Marathon?
The W&D, that's correct. And we all have heard about the conditions. So
I don't know that we all have heard about the conditions.
I don't know. So I'm going to turn to Hawkeye. I refer to him as Hawkeye. Lee Zimmerman. Lee, I want you to take us through as you were preparing to leave to go to the gathering area where the start was, what was everybody thinking about the weather? What had you heard? Were there any notifications from Run Disney? What was the feeling down there?
Well, so everyone I knew starting even by that morning had seen weather reports that said there was almost 100% chance of rain at race time. Run Disney had let us know that there was a good chance that there was going to be inclement weather.
How did they let you know, Lee?
They were tweeting stuff out.
Oh, okay.
And then we were all retweeting it or talking about it or whatever. So, I think no one who was paying any attention to what was going on, either from Run Disney or the real world weather reports, should have shown up at the bus to move to the race and not had a pretty good idea that it was going to rain on them someplace before they got back to Epcot. And I would say what I saw confirmed that. I mean, almost everybody seemed to have ponchos or trash bags or rain gear or something like that as they were gathered, ready to go.
Yeah, and everybody had gear bags that they were checking. Of course, with Wine and Dine, people do that a lot anyway because you plan to stay for the party afterwards and you want dry clothes typically after you've been running.
So if you could take us through the race for the I don't know what the average pace was, but about how, I mean, can you tell us over the course of from the moment the first corral was released to maybe, I don't know, 2.5 to 3 hours afterwards, what happened with the weather, how the weather changed, exactly
sure,
what kind of conditions there were?
So the nice thing if there was a nice thing in all of this, was given that it's a Disney World race and the logistics of trying to get everybody where they need to go and get the roads cleared and everything mean that you get on a bus to go to Wide World of Sports several hours before your actual start time, is it didn't start raining at all until probably 10 minutes or so before Corral A went off. So it was really nice, especially since the pre-race area is mostly grass. It was nice that we could go through gear check and hang out and visit and, you know, kill time and do potty breaks and all that kind of stuff without having to break the rain gear out. So, I mean, everybody seemed pretty happy at that point. They moved us to our corrals, mm-hmm. and like I said, about 10 minutes maybe before Corral A went off, it started sprinkling a little bit. Most of us at that point actually were putting rain gear away because we were thinking we were going to get running and we'd start getting warm. We started in Corral E, which they were pretty short intervals between corrals. Yeah, so that wasn't
We were 12 minutes off the start. Yeah.
And about the time we started running, it started raining. Now, I will say it never poured the whole time. But for the entire time we were out on the course, and we finished in less than 220, it rained the entire time that we were on the course steady.
So you know, I'm trying to think, like, what my strategy would have been. Would I have tried to just stay dry and run at a poncho? Or the reason I ask is because I heard a lot of people say that at a certain point they were just drenched right down to their underwear, right down to their socks. They just sort of gave up. Was your strategy that you were going to try to stay dry through the run, or just kind of?
Because we actually were running, and I don't believe you can run in a poncho or rain gear and, you know, not just be incredibly uncomfortable. So, and the good news is the ambient temperature wasn't that low, and while it was breezy, it wasn't windy. So, you know, once you were wet, it was a little, once you were wet and then had run over a mile and were kind of warmed up, I mean, I was a little bit chilly, but I was actually fairly comfortable as long as I was running. I think Laura was even more comfortable than I was. You know, frankly, once you're wet, you're wet. It really doesn't make any difference how much rain there is. So, I mean, your clothes were soaked through in a few minutes, depending on who you were and how well you could avoid puddles. Some people managed to make it halfway through the race or even to the studios before their feet were soaking wet. Some of the rest of us who wear glasses and they were quickly rain spotted and, you know, light
foggy,
and all
foggy.
That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I found every puddle there was, and, you know, my feet were soaked within a couple miles. But I think where we were, I mean, in the front packs where people were running, most people seem to have gone with the run in your running clothes. Once they get wet, you kind of hit equilibrium and temperature, and there's no sense fighting it. I know when we looped around and we could see, like, when we were leaving Animal Kingdom, so you could see the people that were only a couple miles into the race that were still going into Animal Kingdom, a lot higher percentage of the folks that were either running slower or were walking, they tended to go more for the, we're going to wear a poncho or a trash bag or something and try to stay warm.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in the back. I was in I, and we had a much different experience waiting for the corrals to go out. And by the time we got going, it was raining on us. And I wore my rain cover until I got to the Animal Kingdom. And, you know, I would ask if we have another Run Disney race in the rain, I'd really ask people to make sure that they're throwing their stuff on the side of the road.
Hmm.
Way back in I, we found a lot of tripping hazards from people just dropping their stuff in the middle of the course. And when there's a black garbage bag, you don't see it. And one of our friends caught a garbage bag, and, you know, they didn't trip, but it was not the, you know, it becomes a hazard after a while. So I would encourage people just to really take care of those things.
That's really interesting, because we know in the January races where people discard outerwear because it's cold, I think people are usually pretty considerate of that. But yeah, you don't think of, you know, dumping those garbage bags off to the side.
Well, the problem is also, again, it was a little bit windy. Mm-hmm. And so those things might have started on the edge of the course, but that's pretty light and may have ended
very
up getting
true.
Blown back.
Yes, yes.
Yep. And I guess the second thing I would say is by the time we got out of the Animal Kingdom, the puddles were well formed. And I know that Charlie went in, you know, threw his shoe, and he wears Hokas and they're pretty big. And he was, you know, full foot in the puddles in a couple of different areas right there. So this was not the race that anybody was expecting. And even though we were thinking about it, even at the 5K in the morning, you know, the rain was much harder in the back of the pack than we ever planned for.
Did any of you regret running it?
No.
No.
No. I had serious... I'll skip ahead a little bit. And by the time we got to past halfway, almost in the studios, the rain lessened up on us quite a bit. And it was at that point that I had considered going to the back of Epcot to celebrate after the race. But pretty much by the time we were out of the studios again, the rain had started coming down really hard. And between Kim and Amanda, who were running with me, they were both shivering by the time, you know, we were in Epcot. So there was no way we were going to stop afterwards. It was much colder by the time we finished.
All right. So one thing I want to ask, and Laura, I'm going to ask you first, is I heard very mixed reviews about the number of characters. And of course, when it's raining, that's going to probably affect who can be out there. And so I heard everything from there were hardly any characters to there were plenty of characters. What was your assessment of it?
Well, we saw, to answer your question, really, I think Disney had about as many characters out as they could given the conditions. Mm-hmm. So typically there's several character stops on Osceola Parkway there as you're traversing to and from the Animal Kingdom. The Country Bears were still out just about mile one when we got there, but at that point it hadn't been raining very long, and so I doubt that they were out for much longer. After
yeah, wet, that, wet fur.
Yeah. wet bear, that probably not real appealing. But after that, we saw a number of empty stages where they had planned to have characters and they weren't there. Now, when we got to the Animal Kingdom, there were areas where they could have the characters under cover, and they did have them out in Animal Kingdom. So I think we saw three different ones. Now, we didn't stop for any characters and we didn't stop for any photos in this race.
Wow, Laura, that for you, that's pretty amazing.
It was just miserable enough that all we wanted to do was be done.
Well, the other problem is those of us that use iPhones for our cameras or other smartphones, they're not very waterproof. And right, so right. I think we all had them put away in plastic bags and, you know, didn't want to take them out and risk getting them wet.
I had a regular camera, which would have been okay, but I didn't want to deal with it. I just wanted to get it over with. And so I will say, Lee and I got a personal best for a Disney half marathon in this race.
That's the not stopping and just trying to get it over.
Wow.
One of the interesting things, so Disney, both in Animal Kingdom and the studios, relocated the characters that were in those parks where they could put them under cover. I think my impression is they had all of the same characters. They just moved them. The problem was if you weren't paying attention and weren't looking for stops, it wasn't always real obvious where the characters were. Because, I mean, both Laura and I ran through the studios thinking there wasn't anybody out. And then we talked to some of the other runners later, and they're like, oh, no, there were like five or six different sets of characters out. They just weren't right on the course, and you had to kind of be paying more attention and be looking for them.
So that might explain why people had different points of view on this. That's interesting. And so,
I have to mention this one. One character who was out in the rain, cheering people on, was Sarge, the Green Army Man, just right there around mile 9.5 at the overpass. And, you know, those Green Army Men, they're tough. They're out there, no matter rain or shine.
With the green face paint on, too. That's amazing. That's amazing. What about you, Rich? You were a little bit later. Did you have the same experience or different in terms of who was out?
I wasn't as astute as Lee to look in you know, non-standard places, but I was disappointed once we got past Animal Kingdom, how few characters we saw. But I wasn't really looking for them at that time. By the time we got done with the Animal Kingdom, I just wanted to be done with the race. But I did see a number of characters hiding under covered awnings and things like that. I know that Rafiki and a number of the other animal jungle characters were hanging out back there, and those were the ones I noticed. There were many stages set up that just didn't have characters there, so you saw that they had planned for it. It was just they didn't have the ability to have people out there at the time.
I feel really badly for people who this is their first wine and dine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Michelle, because I was running with a pack of five. Many of them hadn't run this, and this was their can't wait to run this race. And so many times I had to say, when I was wearing the sweater last year, this was here and that was there, and we had such a good time doing these things. And this year, because of just the deluge that we found, that it was more get done with the race and run the race rather than enjoy the sceneries and the sights.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they all have a great story to tell.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
The half marathon they ran in the rain.
So, here's a question. This is just an opinion. Are people justified in complaining about characters being relocated? And, because I heard people who are pretty angry about this. Certainly Run Disney cannot control the weather. Yet, Mike says. But, with the cost of this race, is there anything that they could have done to prepare or make it so that these characters are more accessible? I mean, are people justified in their criticism?
I don't think so. I think, like you said, Disney doesn't control the weather. And I think they did the best that they could given the conditions. And given that this came on pretty suddenly, Thursday, they were saying that it was going to rain on Sunday, but Saturday was still supposed to be fine. And it wasn't really until pretty late on Friday that they suddenly said, oh great, it's going to rain on Saturday night. So they didn't really have a lot of time to make preparations. So as a given the conditions, I think they did what they could, and I don't really think people have grounds to complain that much.
And it's possible, again, given that we didn't all go find the characters where they were a little bit off the beaten path, it wouldn't surprise me, since most of the characters were in Epcot were in Studios or Animal Kingdom, there may have been half to two-thirds of the characters that were supposed to be there anyway. They just weren't quite as accessible. And again, I think that's the best Disney could have done in this case.
Yeah, my take on it is you can't blame Disney for the weather. And, it put a damper on so many great aspects of this race. The after party, and we'll get to that, I'm sure. But it just hampered our ability to enjoy it, but it's not Disney's fault. There's no way that they could have controlled how much water was coming down on the back of the pack as it was. So,
yeah, so, Rich, and it's funny because I was just saying to Michelle, we just wrote down, we need to talk about how the rain and the elements affected the after party. So, Rich, let's stick with you. What did you notice? Observe regarding the rain and the after party, how it affected the crowd, how it affected just the experience of the after party.
Yeah, my group finished at about 2 a.m. and
finished the party.
No, finished the race at about 2 a.m. and we were done. We didn't go to the after party, Mike, but I would say that the corral, that the post race corral, really had a lot to be desired. From the bag check to getting the medals, it was really tough to get through that crowd because there were so many people in the back of the pack for this race. Even getting through that complimentary beer line that they had, there was just such a mass of people that our gang got so cold we just said, forget it, we're going to get out of here and get on the bus. And even still, after we finished the race, I would think that we had another half hour of getting through stuff to get on the bus to get back home.
So, Lee and Laura, how about you? Did you, how did you find, number one, did you go to the after party? And if so, how was it?
Well, we had quite a different experience in the post-race area because we finished so early. We were in the top I think 20% of the pack. So, which is very unusual for us, but that whole not stopping for photos thing made a difference. So we didn't experience the problems Rich did with getting through bag check and medals and everything else. It was pretty good. There was a line for bag check that took a while. But as far as getting the beer and stuff, that actually was pretty easy. And then when we got to the party, we walked back into World Showcase and they're playing music and there are absolutely no lines at any of the food booths. The cast members are out in front of the food booths dancing to the music because they have nothing to do. And it was actually really a lot of fun to watch them. At that point, the rain had actually almost stopped. I mean, maybe just a little bit of mist or drizzle at that point. So we took the opportunity to grab some stuff pretty quickly from a couple of booths, and some of it was just, you know what, I don't even care what I'm eating, I'm gonna eat this quick because it's food and it's warm and I'm really hungry at this point. So, but after we finished kind of our second item, it started to rain again, and so we had planned to meet friends back at Germany and hang out with them, but when we started walking that direction, we met them on the way back, and we actually all ended up going into the craft beer pavilion in the Odyssey, which had lots of space. It was indoors, where it was dry. It was a little bit too air-conditioned in there, so I won't say it was warm, but at least it wasn't raining. And so we sat on the floor and hung out in there for an hour and a half or so. We never did go back out to enjoy the festival at all. But when we left, which was about quarter to three, we were amazed at how many people were out there in their ponchos enjoying the festival. And the food booth lines looked like what they did on kind of a normal day at the Food and Wine Festival. You know, lines were 10, 15 people deep and just crowded people milling around, and we had to work our way through crowds to head back to our hotel. So there were a lot of people that still were enjoying the after party despite the rain.
And as Laura aptly put it, we will be forever known as the 2014 Wet and Drenched Half Marathon. And we want to thank Rich Gehring. We want to thank Lee Zimmerman. We want to thank Laura Gilbreth for this review. Thanks, guys. And one more question, just as we wrap this up. Rich, do you plan on doing this next year?
Don't know about next year, but I will be coming back to challenge the Wine and Dine again sometime, Mike.
Okay. Lee and Laura?
So yep, next year.
We're already signed up for it, and I want to give a shout-out. I have to say, while we were doing that soggy rain, the Disney cast members and all the volunteers – were amazingly upbeat and happy.
Yes.
And they didn't have the advantage of running and being warm. They were all just standing around in the rain. And, you know, they seemed to be even more enthusiastic than they are in a normal race. I think either because they thought we were all so stupid or they thought we all needed that much more encouragement. But
you're so right, Lee. And that's one of the things that I had noted down here, was that so many of the volunteers were out there cheering people on as the rain was coming down, and it was cold, and it was cold for everybody. But we had puddle patrols out there. We had all sorts of folks trying to encourage people through. So they were the superstars of the weekend by far.
Yeah, I did actually talk to Nancy Cancel, who we all know, who's one of the volunteers. And she said she's volunteered in dozens of these races. She said it's the only time that she thought, I just want to give up and go home. She said it was just miserable. And she said, you know, people running by were keeping warm, but she was not warm because she was standing there in the rain. But she stuck it out. So it's a great way to end this podcast.
She's the hero.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Rich. And thank you, Lee and Laura, for giving us your review of Wine and Dine.
Thank you. So we're closing the book on the 2014 Run Disney Wine and Dine Marathon. So for Rich Gehring, Lee Zimmerman, Laura Gilbreth, and from Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel.
who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.